because the essence of this triple James really referred to the triple James of one's self nature, which is enlightened, righteous, and pure. And then the external triple James means the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. The goals of Buddhism is to be realized or enlightened and not to be confused. This is the original nature. To be righteous and not to be evil. This is the original capability. To be pure and not to be stained. This is the original realization. I may have this a little mixed up. But basically, the goal is to be realized, to be righteous, and to be pure. If one's mind truly enters into realization or enlightenment, then the righteousness and purity will follow automatically. And likewise, if one's mind is totally into righteousness, then realization and purity will follow. So once you obtain one item, the other two comes automatically. And to do that, the steps are precept, step one, meditation to obtain samadhi, step two, and wisdom achievement, step three. The Buddhism's canons talk about three major categories. The sutra pretty much discuss samadhi aspect. The precept portion of the canon discuss about the precepts, and discussion portion of the canon discuss about wisdom aspect. So it's like entering into the realization from three different doors. Like this place, we have two entrances. To enter into total realization of the Buddha nature or Buddhahood, we have three doors. The door of enlightenment, which Zen Buddhism belongs to. The door of righteousness, which all the teachings school belong to, because they teach all kind of proper views and many good teachings. Another door to enter into the same place is the door of purity, which Pure Land school belongs to, by purifying one's body, speech, and mind. And once you choose the door and enter into the enlightened stage, whether it may be pure door, or the door of enlightenment, or the door of righteousness, once you enter there, it's all the same. And therefore, as a disciple, a practitioner of Pure Land, we should respect other schools and their approaches. We must not praise ourselves and look down upon other schools and their practices. Because once you enter into the same result, it is the same as other people can enter into the same place. Dharma masters and dear fellow practitioners, let's turn to the material handed out to you. That is the material written in Chinese, item number 6. Let me read it to you and then explain later. The foundation of cultivation is the three felicities. To deal with people around you, one should follow this principle of six harmonies. And also to live in this world, one need to practice the six prajnaparamitas, follow the universal goodness bodhisattva's vows and set one's mind or heart toward the pure land. If one can do the above mentioned items, then all the Buddha's teachings and expectations are all contained. Last night, we discussed about Buddhism is to help us restore original realization, return to one's original nature, and recover one's original capabilities. And to achieve that, we use three steps, namely precept, meditation, and wisdom to achieve the goal of enlightenment, righteousness, and purity. However, these are just principles. And how do we put into practice in daily life? So the sentence I just read over to you tonight talk about the details of practice in daily life. Then the first, the cultivation foundation or basis is the so-called three felicities. This three felicities were mentioned from the Sutra of Observing the Infinite Life. In that sutra, it described, originally at Buddha Sakyamuni's time, Madame Wishiti encountered a very serious and sad political event. She was in tremendous suffering. She fully realized the emptiness, the impermanence, and the suffering, and therefore generate strong willpower or wish to be born into a peaceful place. Buddha Sakyamuni fully understood how Madame Wishiti felt, and therefore utilized Buddha's supreme spiritual power and display in front of her all the pure lands of all Buddhas, of all the universe, just like we can see from the TV of all the wonderful world of different Buddhas, and then let her decide which one is most suitable or desirable for her. And after seeing this, Madame Wishiti chose Amitabha's pure land of the ultimate bliss. So it was Madame's personal decision and not Buddha's suggestion. And then she asked how to be born into Buddha's pure land. Buddha replied with a big smile, and that smile signifies that this is a very wise decision and is a compliment from Buddha without language. Because the selection among all the pure land is Amitabha's pure land. This is a very wise decision and is highly praised and supported by all Buddhas in 10 directions. Before Buddha Sakyamuni explained in detail about the pure land, Buddha Sakyamuni mentioned, in order to be born and close with Buddhas in any of the Buddha world, whether the Buddha is the past, present, or the future Buddhas, the following three things are the common requirements. They all have to have these three felicities.
So, Madame Waititi represents the general public of suffering and asks Buddha Sakyamuni how to be born into the Pure Land and away from suffering once for all. And Buddha answered that no matter you practice Theravada Buddhism or Mahayana Buddhism, you must first possess felicity. And therefore, he mentioned the following three general requirements or prerequisites. The first one contains four items. That is, to love, respect, and support one's parents. The second item of this first sentence is to respect and follow teachers' teaching. The third item of the first sentence is to be loving, kind, and compassionate, and abstain from killing. And the last item of the first sentence, or the first felicity, is to cultivate the 10 good karma. Then there are second sentence and a third sentence, which are corresponding to Mahayana felicity, Theravada felicity, and felicity to be born in heaven or human realm, respectively. Because if we cannot be a good person, then we do not have the foundation to be born as a human being or as a celestial being next life. Without the foundation of be able to be born as a human being or celestial being, then you do not have qualification to practice Theravada Buddhism and become liberated. Without the foundation of be able to become self-liberated, then you do not qualified to cultivate Theravada Buddhism and save others. Actually, when you become a person to be extremely and perfectly good, that is accomplishment of a Buddha. So let's talk about the first one. To love, respect, and support one's parents. This is a very valuable and is traditional Chinese teaching from Chinese ancestors. They taught us the most important foundation to be a human being and describe the relationship that we're supposed to keep. And by the way, I like to mention that the great ancestors' wisdom and precious teachings are all contained in the classical language of Chinese writing. And we do have a spoken language in Chinese, but it varies from time to time. However, the classical writing of Chinese language has a special form and never change. That is the key to the Chinese culture or treasure. And we, therefore, need to spend time to practice the classical language of Chinese writing, Chinese language. Therefore, we will be able to understand precious teaching from our ancestors. Due to a lack of proper word to translate the Chinese concept of felicity, you have to use three parts and put together, hopefully can translate its meaning. In Chinese, it's called a xiao, but in English, roughly contains love, respect, and support one's own parents. Take a look at this Chinese word xiao, which is made by two parts and is coming from the principle of meaning out of the six principles that Chinese characters were created. It's created out of the principle of meaning. Put meaning together to create a new word or characters. And the meaning was put together by older generation, and the other part is younger generation. There's two parts put together to create this word xiao. That means literally that older generation and younger generation are together in one without any differences. And that's why today's so-called relation gap between the older generation and younger generation is also literally separate the harmonious relationship between two generations. And that is not the meaning it's supposed to be. So, if two generations are in total harmony, then goes back from the older generation to the generation before that, and even all generation prior to the older generations, they should be also in one, without differences. Therefore, if you trace back, it has no beginning. Are completely in one. One of harmonious relationship. And if you go down from the younger generation and the future younger generations, it also in one of a harmonious relationship without any separation or differences. And therefore, this word in Chinese called xiao is a harmonious relationship without beginning and without end. Harmonious throughout all generations, from the past until future. Sometimes a student asks me a question, why should we remember our ancestors and conduct some kind of ceremonies? Well, the answer is, if we do not remember our ancestors, then we will not be able to respect, love, and support our parents. So that ceremony has very profound meaning. If you even love and respect ancestors that you never seen before, then the parents in front of your eyes will definitely obtain more attention and caring. And this word xiao in Chinese also has additional meaning. In order to be truly a good son or daughter, we need to support the parents for their physical need and financial life, and also need to inherit their good wishes or desire, and also do things to make them happy. So not only physically make them healthy and sound, but for their mind and good desires, may they all be satisfied. Then you can consider it as a good son or daughter. The Chinese Confucius said, if one can pay special attention to parents' funeral, to respect all ancestors of one's tradition, of one's lineage, family lineage, and keep that habit or good custom, then the society will be full of harmony and good virtues. So if one can understand the profound and complete meaning of the word xiao, one can become enlightened. On the other hand, if one do not get along with other people, then one is not considered as good son or daughter. If one do not study harder as a student, then one is not fulfilling the children's responsibility. If one do not work harder keep a good relationship with your boss and your colleagues, and then one is not fulfilling one's duties as a child. Because, like we said earlier, by not fulfilling one's duties in the society makes our parents worry or even disgraceful. And once you give your parents such disgrace, worry, or even fear, then you are not fulfilling your responsibility as a good son or daughter. The foundation and essential teaching of Confucianism talk about xiao a lot. So is Buddhism. The differences are Confucianism talk about the xiao for one's family lineage only. The Buddhism talk about xiao and expand that to the whole wild universe to cover all sentient beings, to make every sentient being to reach the same happy state. And that's Buddhism's expanded goal. Actually, to be perfect in fulfilling the supreme duties and make all sentient beings completely liberated, you just have to become a Buddha. Even if you have reached the second highest level equivalent to Buddha, the great equivalent Bodhisattva Mahasattva level, you are still not a perfect Buddha, because that high level still has a slight portion of original or fundamental ignorance, not totally eradicated. Because Buddhism's loving-kindness compassion apply to all sentient beings without discrimination, apply to all beings in the whole universe for the past, present, and future. And that is the complete meaning and complete accomplishment of the Chinese word xiao. The next one is to respect and follow one's teacher and the teacher's teachings. And that respectful tradition is established on the same convention of respecting one's own parents. It's built upon the same foundation. Because our parents gave birth to us so that we can have a physical body that we can live through our life as human beings. So they have great virtues by generating us in the physical form and taking care of us. Likewise, the teachers are beneficial to us because they guide us, teach us, so that our spiritual life can be developed. When one respects one's teacher and follow the precious teachings, then one will have the potential to become enlightened and cut off ignorance. One can transcend ordinary people's level and become a holy people or sage. One can eventually away from suffering and obtain supreme peace if one respect and follow one's teacher's wise teachings. In the Chinese ancient record called Li Ji, it says, when the country is first established, to build a good foundation, it is education. So the Chinese tradition realize and emphasize the importance of education and importance to respect the teacher which provide education. Example I'd like to give to you is the Chinese emperor always sit at a north direction in his palace facing south direction. And all people want to meet the emperor. The emperor will simply sit and remain in his throne. But if the emperor's teacher appear in the palace, the emperor himself will get off his seat and standing at the east side to welcome the teacher as an honorary guest. So traditionally, the Chinese teachers, their reward or salary is very low, but their position is with great respect because they do the teaching and they have the capability to influence the people and the whole society through the proper teachings. Unfortunately, the tradition of respect the teachers has totally lost, such that one cannot distinguish good from evil, the advantage versus disadvantage. We just totally lost the capability to do that. And that is because there's no teachers. Many of you may disagree with my statement. You say, take a look at public schools. There are plenty of teachers around. How come you say there's no teachers? I will explain to you in detail. There's something called the lineage of constant teaching or teachers. In the traditional Chinese education, there's something called the lineage of constant teaching or teachers. And I'm very lucky to be able to join this one and be benefit from the constant lineage of constant teaching. And I'm afraid in the future, this kind of unbroken lineage of consistent teaching is not going to be carried out anymore. With that kind of good lineage of traditional teaching, unbroken, one can be benefit and receive merits greater than those we can get from our parents sometimes in certain aspects. And the teacher who follow this tradition make the best effort to educate a student. Their requirements sometimes seems rather strict. I remember when I first decided to prostrate and make Professor Lee my personal teacher. Professor Lee made three requirements and asked me to think about it. These were, you must listen to me and me as the only teaching. You cannot listen to the teachings from other teachers nor monks. Secondly, all books you want to read or study, including Buddhism books, must get my concurrence. You cannot just open the book without permission. Thirdly, everything you have learned so far, starting today, become totally void. I don't give them any credit. You have to study. You have to start from scratch. Think about it and decide whether you still want to become my disciple. However, there is a limitation in time. You only need to follow these restrictions or limitation for up to 5 years. After 5 years, you are free to do other research. And that is actually not my teacher's personal invention or creation. In Buddhism, there's a saying says 5 years in the beginning of monkhood just to study and practice, nothing but the precepts. So it is a good tradition to have one know all the rules and regulations and set up a good foundation. Because if one has two teachers to follow, then there will be two different teachings. One will be confused sometimes. If there are three teachers, one will be into a Y-shaped road, don't know which way to go. If one has four teachers, one will be like entering into a four-way traffic room. You can be lost in four different directions. So if that's a good teacher, then you're going to bound to have a good achievement. But if you don't listen to the good teacher, it is not the teacher's responsibility. On the other hand, if teacher demanding total respect and follow of teacher's teaching, and yet the teacher himself is not a good one, then the teacher will go to the lowest of the lowest level of hell, because he's supposed to be fully responsible for the student's spiritual life and development. So I paused about 5 or 6 minutes thinking about these rigorous rules and requirements. Then I decided, give a try. Okay, I accept those rules. Three conditions. Surprisingly,